Welcome to the Original Recipe Group Big Book Step Study. Broadcasting from Newcastle, PA, every Monday night from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Easter on Zoom.
Ruth the Alcoholic, and I'm grateful to be here tonight. Thank you, TC, for asking me to do service. I haven't been at this meeting for a while. And let me just say that I was just feeling a little blah. My energy was kind of low until I got onto this meeting and I hear TK, your energy and enthusiasm is just wonderful and it's contagious. So thank you. Thank you. I have been through this process with the Big Book Step Study sponsor and the grace of God. I've completed my formal amends and I'm living my living amends and I'm practicing steps 10, 11, and 12 on a daily basis. And so this is one of those daily steps. And step 10 is wonderful because there's so much here. It's not a long reading, but it's the daily blueprint, right? Starts out saying this thought brings us to step 10. What thought? Go back a paragraph. And after talking about the 9-step promises, and
I wrote a text to you.
Each step has its promises. Someone's unmuted. Thank you. Each step has promises, but the 9-step promises are the one that get all the attention. So after mentioning those promises, are these extravagant promises? No. They're being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. And that thought brings us to step 10, because after doing all the work of 1 through 9, we need to continue. We need to continue. And I was 29 years sober when I came here during COVID. I had checked out a couple of Big Book Step Study meetings 30 years ago, but they were kind of new and kind of trendy in my area. I live in the Boston area, by the way. The group I belong to is Seacoast Big Book Step Study, formerly called Newington. The in-person meeting is Newington and the Zoom meeting is Seacoast Big Book Step Study. We meet Saturday mornings. So that is my group. Back in 2020, when all of a sudden all the meetings went on to Zoom, I decided to check out one Big Book Step Study meeting a week because it was easy. I could just jump online. I had checked out a couple of them 30 years prior, as I said, and it was just a little overwhelming, you know? And I thought, well, those are for the people that can't get sober and it's really intense and I don't need that. So fast forward 29 years, and I'm a little bit full of fear and resentment. One of the beautiful things about COVID is Zoom. You know, Zoom has been such a blessing. But also we had a ton of meetings going on outside. So we were at meetings every day, people's backyards, the park. And that was just a blessing. But I started going to one of these meetings. It was Norton, Saturday morning. The reason I joined New Hampshire Seacoast meeting is, you know, a year later, whenever it was that Norton went back in person, I was used to going Saturday morning. So I found the Seacoast meeting. Anyway, I was going to the one meeting a week and I knew I was hearing something different. I was hearing the solution. It was unlike all my other meetings. And it was unlike the couple of Big Book Step Study meetings that I went to 30 years ago, by the way. You know, I heard a little softer message now, and that was attractive to me. 30 years ago, it was very harsh, very tough, whatever. I mean, that's what I heard, and now I'm hearing something different, and I'm hearing the solution. I loved the meeting, and I just kept going, and I started getting there early so I could volunteer to read. But I had no intentions of doing this work until months into it, I heard a woman talking about the fear part of step 4. And boy, did I identify. You know, I was sober a long time. I thought I was working my steps and I was sponsoring women. I was doing a good program. I was in therapy, right? I was working on myself. But fear really ran my life. Maybe not quite as much as like before I got sober. But no, I didn't know until I did the writing, that I was full of fear and resentments. I knew I had a couple of resentments, but I heard this woman talk. I hung on her every word and I reached out to her, and she ended up taking me through this process. Changed my whole perspective on everything, changed my recovery, my connections with others, and my relationship with God. So, if anyone's new here, if anyone's writing, just keep coming to the meetings, keep writing. There's a gift here that, there's a lot of gifts here. Blessings. So I did my writing, and what I didn't realize was that the writing, well, first of all, I did the reading, I connected with my sponsor, I read by myself, we read together, and then we did the third step together on Zoom, over Zoom. We were both on our knees over Zoom, which was beautiful. We don't live in the same state. And I started writing immediately, and what I didn't realize was I would have these little spiritual awakenings along the way with the writing, and I started to see patterns. I just had no idea. I knew I was fear-based. That was kind of my whole life. And but I didn't realize, as I started writing out those resentments, I was shocked that I had 200 something resentments when I was sober that long. I thought, oh, I've dealt with all this stuff already. Darlene's laughing. She came in here way before me and was saving a seat for me, I believe, right? And yeah, it's just you don't know what you don't know, right? So I had all these resentments, and then surprised, surprise, underneath each resentment was the fear. Ah, there's the fear, and the fear leads to the resentment, and oh, I just learned so much. But what I didn't realize was that that writing was preparing me for my day-to-day living. I was learning how to really see myself. And when I was learning how to do a turnaround, that was preparing me for step 10. I also felt like, and this was kind of funny, but it took me a long time to write, of course. I spent a year and 3 months. And then I did a marathon session first for my fifth step, which I didn't think I could get through. But that was how my sponsor did it with her sponsor. So it was in God's hands. We were just going to try it and see what happened. And sure enough, it was a marathon session. It was exhausting and exhilarating. And it was a true spiritual experience. After, then I spent my hour with God. I went right into six and seven. I started getting right into eight and nine. What I realized, my sponsor had me reading these pages, right? Steps 10 and 11, while I was doing my writing. Because we commence this way of living as we're cleaning up the past. So I was getting ready. I was listening to it on a daily basis. What I didn't realize was that I was going to be doing more writing. When I was done writing, I thought, oh, thank God, I don't have to write anymore. But then I was hearing people talk about writing out their 10 steps, and I just really resisted that idea. I don't want to do more writing. But like I said, that writing for all that time was preparing me to do this work. So in step 10, I've gone through that inventory. I've seen myself, I've seen my patterns, my character defects. I don't want to be that person anymore. I didn't know I was selfish. I see all the different forms of my selfishness and self-centeredness. So now I need to continue to watch for selfishness, dishonesty, resentment, and fear, because that's how I'm going to grow in understanding and effectiveness, the daily work, 10 and 11. So I need to continue to watch when these things crop up, because they will. I thought they were just going to all be gone. Because it was all revealed to me in four and five. And in six, I said, yeah, I'm willing to get rid of it. And seven, I said, God, take it all. So I thought it was going to be gone. But on a daily basis, when these crop up, I have a few steps to do here. I ask God at once to remove them. So first I go to God. I discuss them with someone immediately. Second, I go to another person. And then I make amends quickly if I've harmed anyone. So third, I make an amends if needed. And then four, I resolutely turn my thoughts to someone I can help, immediately try to get out of myself and out of my own head. And love and tolerance of others is our code. And that's a big one. Now, I'm a very visual person. So on my little desk here, and I work from home, by the way. So this is my desk for meetings and for work. I have a whole stack of little sticky notes. And one of them says, love and tolerance of others is my code. And all these other ones really help me with my daily steps. How would this be different if I trusted and relied on God? Cease fighting and be in a position of neutrality. Oh, here it is. Love and tolerance of others is our code. Pause, pray, and use step 11. Well, we're not on step 11 yet, but that's a really good one. And oh, this is a great one. It's not them. So my job is to look at myself on a daily basis and to pay attention to these things that will crop up. And I have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So that's a big one. Oh, and sanity has returned. Well, in step two, the promise is that God's going to restore us to sanity. In step 10, after doing all the work of 3 through 9, God has restored us to sanity. So, part of the sanity is to stop fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol. So I'm not fighting to stay away from a drink. That's number one. We're seldom interested in liquor. That whole section that comes next, been placed in a position of neutrality. But the thing about fighting others and fighting like the world, I had this thing. Now, I was a people pleaser my whole life. I wasn't out there. I was like withdrawn. All the trouble in my life was inside stuff. I didn't have like jackpots with my drinking and drugging. It was the inside stuff. And it was the subtle. It was the settling for less. It was staying working as a bartender and dropping out of grad school because I really liked being in the bar. I really was addicted to my boyfriend who I met in the bar. That was the same old story again and again, but settling for less, inside stuff. But the fighting part, I didn't realize till I did this work that I was the actor trying to run the show. So I was really in my people-pleasing, subtle way. I wanted everybody to act a certain way and to do certain things. If everybody would just do what I think they should do and act the way I think they should act, then we'll all be happy. Because again, I'm a nice person. I'm a people pleaser. I want you to be happy. I want me to be happy. I don't want to be uncomfortable. That's what it is. I'm uncomfortable if I'm not in control. I'm uncomfortable around strong personalities, right? So I felt like there were a lot of bullies in my life. I'm uncomfortable when someone's mad at me. There are a lot of ways that I get uncomfortable. A lot of fears about just like not knowing and what's going to happen next. So if everyone would just play the role that I assign, we'll all be happy. So that was and the fighting. I went through this whole phase. I was very shy and quiet as a kid. As I was older, like college and beyond, then all of a sudden I'm like wanting to stand up for other people that I felt like were being bullied and other people that had no voice. I was finding my voice and I was wanting to fight for others. I want to fight for causes that I think are important. I want to stand up for women. I was doing things like, this is the grandiosity, I was trying to start like clothing drives and food drives all the time by myself. I was always like, again, good intentions, but I'm like fighting the world, and I'm wanting to fight bullies and stuff. So anyways, Learning how not to do that, and being in a position of neutrality, safe and protected, as far as alcohol is concerned, number one. But with everything, I wrote down that someone said at a meeting before, a friend of mine said, this is a great definition of spiritual fitness, to be placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. I'm not going around fighting things, fighting people, trying to get people to believe what I believe, trying to change people's minds, trying to get my will across, and that always challenges. Things come up, oh, I have an opinion. I want to speak up, right? How important is it? I have this little checklist too that has some of these daily things to ask myself. Is this any of my business? There's one. How did I set the ball rolling? Am I like the actor? Am I being like the actor trying to arrange the lights and the scenery? Do I think I know what's best for other people? That's a big one because I have a daughter, right? She's an adult daughter, but still, she's my daughter and I'm the mom, so I always know what's best. I also have an aging mom who I worry about. So, I want to control, I want to advise, I want to suggest. And one of the things too is, don't answer questions that I haven't been asked. That's on this list too. Don't offer advice unless I'm asked. Tricky, tricky stuff. And these are growth steps, by the way, not maintenance steps. I used to always hear these are the maintenance steps before I came to Big Book Step Study. Oh, the maintenance steps, the maintenance steps. Well, what was I maintaining? I had never really done a thorough, a fearless and searching and thorough inventory. I did, I don't know, the 12 and 12, all the step meetings I went to over the years, we used the 12 and 12. Also, there was a Hazelden guide. There was also the Woman's Way through the 12 steps. I was in another 12-step program that used Patrick Carnes, Out of the Shadows. Wonderful. I got something. Oh, and Al-Anon, the Blueprint for Progress. I got something out of each, inventory. I did my inventory different ways at different times. Not the same as this, not as deep as this. I've had lots of spiritual experiences along the way, but I truly have had a spiritual awakening as the result of doing these steps this way. What else do I want to say? Because there's so much in here, so much. Well, it is easy to let up on the spiritual program of action and rest on our laurels. It's very true. And laurels, that thorny branch. And just what that means is to get lazy or complacent, bask in that success, that thing that you get from the Olympics, which is the laurels. And what we really have is a daily reprieve contingent on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. So every day I have to say, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And I have to work on my spiritual condition. 2 minutes. Thank you so much, DK. So when I wake up in the morning, I have sort of like a daily blueprint for living, and it's right here. It's 10th and 11th steps. I wake up in the morning, I say a little prayer that I was raised with, thanking God for another day, expressing gratitude. And then I say, God, please get in my head, direct my thinking, because I could get into depression, I can get into worry and start thinking about what I have to do for the day. I can worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week. And then, I have a morning walk with my dog where I start some prayer and meditation. I have work that I do. I'm employed and I have a job that I'm grateful for. And I have women that I work with and I have meetings that I attend. And I try to help others, not just alcoholics. And I go to a meeting mostly every day. And I end the day with gratitude and review my day. And this is just a beautiful way of life. I'm just about out of time, so I just want to thank you all for being here. And I look forward to hearing others. And thanks again, TK.